Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which we will consider this afternoon, is recorded in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 37th verse, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. These are the words, "Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." In Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, this Lenten season we are considering our general theme, "Behold the hidden glory of the cross." Our text shows that Christ's glory is hidden under rejection by the world. That rejection is evident from the conversation which took place between Jesus and Pontius Pilate. And it's evident in the crowd's decision to set Barabbas the criminal free and to crucify Jesus. In the process of interrogating Jesus, Pilate said, "You are a king then." To which Jesus responded, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. It seemed ridiculous to him that this poor itinerant carpenter from Nazareth, this beaten and bloodied prisoner, should claim to know and announce the truth. Philosophers for centuries among the Romans and the Greeks had sought to discover ultimate truth without success. In fact, one of them, Pliny the Elder, concluded, "There's only one thing certain, that there is nothing certain." So how could this forlorn Galilean claim otherwise? In his sneering rejection of the truth, Pontius Pilate is really a fitting spokesman for the world. The people of the unbelieving world catalog all the dishonesty and hypocrisy and pretension surrounding them, and they become suspicious of everyone and everything. Ignoring the reality of God, the world abandons any notion of something being absolutely true or absolutely false, absolutely right or absolutely wrong. This notion leads to something called situational ethics. If I can help myself by telling a lie, and if telling the truth will bring me trouble, I'll tell a lie. My own needs at a given time justify my actions. Truth becomes relative, not relative to any standard of any God, but relative to my own needs and desires. You don't have to go to graduate school to learn that. Little children learn that lesson early on. Telling a lie comes easy because all people are born into sin, which has its source in Satan, who first deceived Adam and Eve, and whom Jesus called the father of lies. And so Jeremiah records God's evaluation of the human heart since the fall. "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The world rejects any ultimate truth, and so it rejects any ultimate truth teller. That's evident in Pilate's eventual decision to have Jesus crucified, even though he had already announced that he found him to be innocent. Within our text this evening, we are shown another glaring example of the world's reaction to and rejection of Jesus. John tells us that after this conversation, Pilate went out to the crowd and said, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And John tells us their answer, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Could there be any clearer example of the world's rejection of Jesus? He's placed side by side with Barabbas, a condemned criminal, one who had been convicted of inciting a rebellion, convicted of robbery and murder. Which one posed a greater threat to society? Which prisoner deserved another chance to live? The crowd's answer is breathtaking. They selected Barabbas as the one to walk free and Jesus to die. But is this really such a shock? Is it really so surprising that the world, embodied in the crowd that Good Friday, should reject Jesus Christ? After all, the Bible teaches us that left in our unconverted state, separated from God by our natural unbelief, the world is dead in sin and blind to God and His will. The tragedy of our sin-fallen state is this: so depraved is mankind that we will not hear the truth that we are depraved. So profound is our corruption that we hate the very one who came to deliver us from our sins. If the offer was free gas for a year, or free health care, or free money, people would be trampled in the stampede. But offer the world free forgiveness, free rescue from hell, free heaven. No, not that. Away with him. Give us Barabbas. Where is the glory to be found in this awful scene described in our text? What could be glorious about Pilate's encounter with truth incarnate and his sneering rejection of the truth? What could be glorious about the crowd's mindless hollering for Jesus to be killed and Barabbas to be given amnesty? Jesus once told his followers, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So where's the glory in being hated by the world because of our faith in Jesus, because of our subscription to the truth of his word? The glory is found in believing the truth. It shines with a bold brilliance in trusting hearts. And so it is that glory was apprehended by the paralyzed man who heard Jesus say, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." The glory was seen by the blind man who shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then who heard Jesus say, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And so the dying thief grasped that glory as Jesus told him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." That's the glory which breaks through to us, even though it's rejected by the world. For Jesus' sake, our sins are forgiven. By his grace, our eyes have been opened, and we can see him as our true Savior. The day of our death is the day of our entrance into paradise, forever happy, forever restful in his presence. That glory is also apparent to us when we realize that, like Barabbas, we have been granted freedom from our sins' just punishment, because our Lord Jesus took that punishment in our place. While we don't know anything about Barabbas and what his life was like after he was let loose that day, we can easily imagine how fresh and sweet the outside air smelled to him when he was released from that dungeon. And we can easily imagine how lovely the green grass and the sunlight and the flowers must have looked to him as he walked about as a free man. There's real glory hidden in the message of our salvation through Jesus Christ alone. The glory is found in the Word of God and in the work of God. And we bask in that glory even now as we live under the cross and share with Jesus in the world's rejection. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the glorious truth of our salvation through faith in our holy substitute will never pass away. God grant that we may ever remain among those who know the glory hidden under the cross. Amen.